Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Scott Stokely podcast. And this is going to be fun. And it's something really, really excited. As most of you know, I've spent years trying to promote disc golf in the special needs community. And I get a lot of credit for that. But I certainly haven't been alone. Have lots of people all over the world who are doing the same thing. And everyone wanted to see disc golf in the Olympics, right? Well, disc golf is going to be in the Olympics, in the Special Olympics in Texas. And I have Chad Eason with me, and we're going to talk about how we got there and what we can do. Well, no, we're just going to talk about it. Chad, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is an awesome opportunity. As you mentioned, Special Olympics Texas. We're starting disc golf, and we're coming in strong.
That is. And, you know, it's a full medal sport, everybody. It's not one of those exhibition sports, right?
Absolutely. So that's one thing that I love about Special Olympics. It's not a handout. You got to work for your medals. We got ribbons, too. But no, you got to earn those medals for sure.
I love this. So I want to talk all about this, but just real briefly. You're the director of, well, tell me, what do you do at the Special Olympics and how did you wind up here?
Absolutely. So I am the director of competition and games for Special Olympics Texas. So I run and plan all of our statewide sporting competitions where athletes from across the state come to compete against each other. It's been tough with COVID not having these in-person events, but we're getting back to them for sure. I also make sure everyone's following the rules, making sure those in Lubbock are going by the same rules as in Austin and Houston and San Antonio. Everyone's going consistent there. But myself actually started way back graduating college. Texas State needed my 6 credit hours for my capstone to graduate, and had some pretty important folks over at UT and the football and swimming department who I reached out to about an internship. And long story short, they couldn't get me an internship, so I had to take a whole semester off of school my last semester and worked full time, and then reached back out for my internship the next semester and found Special Olympics, and had no idea that that was even in Texas or even in Austin. But growing up, I had a buddy, next door neighbor who's 19 now, but he's got Down syndrome. So opened my eyes to the world of intellectual disabilities, found Special Olympics as an internship. 2 weeks into my internship, the guy in my position resigned actually, and I was hired on full-time staff. So it was one of those things that was kind of meant to be. And I knew all those big names previously, but I didn't get that internship for a reason. And 1 semester later, here I was, and now director of competition and games. So it's been an awesome journey.
That's absolutely amazing. And well, first tell me about your neighbor.
Absolutely, Shay. So you may have seen, I know they do a few of them, but if you saw one of the managers going in on senior night, he hit 2 of 4 three-pointers on senior night and was on SportsCenter. So he never stops talking about that. But Shay, now 19, he just graduated from Bowie High School down in Austin, Texas. And his brother's actually a professional disc golf player, Connor O'Reilly, the big Irish. But Shay is, I will tell you, some people, when they see everyone around him and everyone's giving him crap and smack talking him and whatnot, and they think, oh, well, why are they doing that to Shay? He has Down syndrome. He's got a disability. You have no idea how much that kid gives it way worse to any one of us of his smack talk and how much better he is. And he really, really enlightens all of us into what it means to just live carefree, live happy all the time. He is definitely an inspiration to all of his brothers, professional disc golf players, professional basketball players overseas. So Shay is one of those that really inspired me to obviously get into the line of work that I do, but others all over that. Right. You can go on SportsCenter. You can make it no matter what your disability.
So I'll tell you just a real quick story. Usually on these interviews, by the way, I just want to hear your story, but I think this could be more engaging if we're sharing some back and forth, because obviously you're passionate as well. When you talked about people giving Shay a hard time and, you know, not treating him like everyone else, one of the lessons I learned, I still remember his name was Oliver. It was in Albany, New York at a Blue Power event. And I think Oliver was, I don't know, 25 years old, and he came out with his friend who drove in, who didn't have Down syndrome, so, you know, who drove him in and brought him out. And as we're walking around playing, I was talking to his friend, and I said, so is Oliver, is he your brother or family member? He goes, no. And I said, oh, okay, so you work in a special needs community. He says, no. And I'm like, well, how do you know Oliver? He goes, he's my friend. And it dawned on me that I'm just as vulnerable as anybody else to not seeing Oliver as a man, because I assumed he must be there being paid to come out or something. And I just felt like such an ass over it. But I posted about it to try to share that I'm learning, right? So like what you're talking about is the same thing. I'm sure Oliver would have given shit back too.
100%.
Yeah. All right. So let's cut to the chase. Disc golf is going to be in the Special Olympics. How did this come about?
Absolutely. So super exciting. Some folks think, right, Special Olympics is that track and field meet once a year. And one thing we want to tell folks is that not only do we have 19 different sports just in Texas, we do music, arts, theater, all sorts of things, robotics, crazy things you would never think of that our athletes do. But disc golf specifically, that was one that it's a new sport that obviously is growing in all sports as is. And the community of disc golf is huge. So no one in Special Olympics in any state we saw was doing disc golf. And an opportunity came about to get some grant money to order some equipment. So through a partnership, Dynamic Discs, we got 100 disc golf kits, baskets, and 3 disc starter sets to give out to our Unified Champion Schools campuses. So all the schools around Texas, Unified Champion Schools, which is all about inclusion in the schools, they each got a kit if they requested one. Threw some seed money and got going. So we did a virtual fall classic to just get some interest going during these times of COVID, weren't having in-person events, and did a virtual competition and had traditional athletes compete. So they would play compete in themselves in different skills or compete as a unified pair, which we can definitely chat about more in, which is an athlete, a partner together competing on the same team. So it really is all about that inclusion. But from there, right, we're going to talk about getting competitions going into our sports season. So 9-hole competitions, 18-hole competitions. And again, this is just the beginning, but the disc golf community, just got to give a huge shout out. They really rallied around us and everyone wants to help out. Everyone who's heard about it is like, how can I get involved? How can I volunteer? And we're definitely going to find a way for everyone.
I love that. And when I was talking to Maria, one of the things I offered that I would love to do for you guys is please let me help your coaches. We talked about earlier, I've run 280 events with kids with special needs. And the reason I want to help you guys coach is because I had to go through this learning curve where that didn't work. Hey, that worked great. Here was a good approach. That was a bad idea. And now I've learned all these things. And so your coaches don't have to go through that same learning curve of what are people able to do and what are the athletes capable of and what are the athletes, what adaptations need to be made. Like, I've made all those mistakes already. So I was saying, please let me help.
That is amazing. And yes, Maria, right, she's helped us out huge in getting our training videos up and running. So that's something that we would love to get you involved there. And that's exactly it is, right. We know there's a lot of disc golfers out there who would be willing to help in that regard, but some may be hesitant to work with our athletes. So something like that is, what are these little modifications that we can do to make them more comfortable, make our athletes more successful? But that's something that's going to be huge going forward. And would love to get you out there working with our athletes, working with our other coaches to get them trained in both working with disc golf athletes and working with Special Olympics athletes.
No, absolutely would love to do that. Now, so Maria said that you were talking about the competition side being playing golf, but also maybe doing skills competitions. How is it broken up? I mean, there's different developmental levels of developmental disabilities. How do you differentiate between the groups? And I've always wondered, do you differentiate also with age, or is it, so it's age and level?
Absolutely. So we do it off of gender, age, and ability level. So we split our males and females from each other, and then we have age groups, and then by ability level. So all of our competitions, athletes are training for 8 weeks minimum, practicing in each of their events, and they turn in qualifying scores. So that's where it comes into the real legitimacy of we're heating and divisioning these folks who will be on the same disc golf card playing against each other. They have similar averages so that they're competing against a fair playing field, right, going for that gold medal as is. But as you mentioned, different developmental events. For each of our sports, we have each of those developmental levels. So some athletes start at our fundamental sports program, which is a new program we're revamping, which is athletes with severe and profound disabilities. Dropping a handkerchief is a huge accomplishment for them. Then we have young athletes program, 2 to 7 year olds who are working on those skills to get there. And then we have some individual skills events. So these athletes work on, for disc golf, putting. Then they do a skill for driving, a roller shot and an upshot, and a short and long putt to work on those skills. Some athletes may stay in that individual skills competition for their entire life and just get better in those skills and get higher scores. Some may then move on to nine hole, where they're playing nine hole with a partner, where it's alternating shots. So athlete throws a shot, then the partner throws a shot. And then the athlete can play nine holes individually, then going up to 18 holes with a partner, and then 18 holes individually. So kind of that gradual, right, development. Some athletes stay at the same level forever. Some move up. And we work on those skills throughout the years, keep boosting those skills and getting better year in, year out.
So one of the things I love about the Special Olympics, and I love what you're doing, I've made videos and I've spoken on podcasts all about teaching kids with special needs. By the way, I say kids and adults. I call them kids. They feel like my kids. But when I say kids, I mean anyone with special needs. And one of the things I've always frowned upon is the idea that you're not keeping score. Just getting out to the park is enough, and getting out. And that, of course, for some, just getting out or having the courage to engage with strangers could be like a huge challenge, for sure. But in my experience, most of the people I worked with, I kept score. I adapted the course. So I might have 40-foot holes, but I would say, that took you 6 times. I think you can do it in 5. Because if you're not keeping score, you're not playing golf. You're putting. Nothing wrong with putting. It's not golf. And so the fact that you're actually keeping score and competing, I think is, like, I can't praise you more for that. Because most of the people I worked with, even if they couldn't keep the score themselves, they would ask me what they got. They wanted to know, you know?
Competitive. We're all competitive at heart, and so are the athletes.
100%. So, yeah, I think that's just, especially in the modern, world, I think it's fantastic. I mean, in the 70s, if there had been Special Olympics, they would have made you run laps if you lost, right? I mean, like, they were pretty, maybe a little too harsh back then, but right. There's a between then and now that I think you guys have found.
100%. That's right. Like I said, I have seen those who they've gotten a medal every time they come out. And then when they get that ribbon, those screams and tears, they come and you don't want to be around, but they talk about it and they say, okay, now I know, right? I got to work better. I'll get that gold next time. And one of my favorite stories is that powerlifting athlete came up and he got 3 silvers, and I'm up on stage with a microphone live, and he taps me on the shoulder and I bend down and the whole crowd can hear it. And he goes, next year, I'm coming back and I'm getting gold. And everyone in the entire crowd heard it. And it's right. It's the inspiration that, hey, I'm coming back and I'm going to do it. So it's great.
Of course. Absolutely. How many different locations around Texas does this take place?
So this is the best part, right? We have 19 areas all across Texas. We recently, our CEO came from Special Olympics Arizona. He's been here for 2 years now and broke us up from 19 areas. We have 4 regions that we kind of separate into, make it a little more manageable with the size of Texas. Everyone knows how quite crazy that is. So then each of those regions have about 4 to 5 areas. And then how our progressions work are each of those areas host competitions. Athletes, all they have to do is go to that area competition and they automatically qualify for state. So just by attending, they can get 1st through 8th place. As long as they go there, they do qualify for the chance to go to state. But each of those areas, they'll host their own competitions throughout the year. Some do 20 sports, some do 4 to 5 per area. But as long as there's interest, the program directors in each of those areas will do whatever we can to put on competitions. And that's where, again, we would love to lean on the disc golf community. One thing we would love is, right, if there's existing tournaments out there, to have a division for Special Olympics and open up for our athletes to just join into what you guys are already doing out there in existing tournaments would be great as a start. Our goal is to get to where we're having hundreds of athletes in there, and we need to have our own tournament just for Special Olympics because we're outgrowing it. But it's exciting.
I can speak for every disc golf club in the country. There's not one single club that would not open themselves up to doing Special Olympics events. People more often than not, just don't know how to get involved. If you present the opportunity, if you reach out to the club, the answer will be yes. I will speak for every club in Texas, every club in the US or the world. The answer is yes. But you have to proactively reach out to them. So do all these regions already have disc golf communities ready to go, or are you looking for these other, some of these regions to step up?
So it's really just taken off, and it's been during COVID, so we haven't got much off the ground. We have those in San Antonio with Maria. We got some great folks in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We got some in Austin. There's a few others out there for sure that we are working with, but it is going to be one where we're going to have to get boots on the ground and reaching out. And a lot of these connections are starting to form with the connections we already have, but it is going to grow, and our staff definitely have to be proactive. But if there's anyone out there that's listening right now and in your areas, right, go to SOTX.org, type in your zip code, and you can get connected to that area director. Reach out to them and make them do it. Put the pressure on them, and believe me, they'll do it from our end when we tell them this is coming out. And if we don't tell anyone, no, that's one thing our CEO, Tim, says. If the athletes want to do it, we're going to do everything we can to make it happen. So that's on us.
I can help. I know a few people.
Love it.
That's going to be easy. We will definitely include all the links and all the information on how to reach out and get involved. I think that's going to be the least of our problems. I think we'll have plenty of clubs willing to do this.
Great to hear.
You said it's going to take place over the course of a year as opposed to one annual event. So the annual event is the big blow off when you qualify for it. But throughout the year, there's regional events.
Absolutely. So each of those areas, they'll find within that schedule. And that's something that we're still figuring out within our Special Olympics schedule. I'll tell you, it's a little different from our seasons, kind of how we fit things. So where we put disc golf, which season, we'll put it in there. And there's kind of a 3 to 4 or 5 month window where the areas will find a date that works for them, put on that competition. It lines up with the disc golf competition already going on, hop onto that. And then they'll compete at one of those area competitions. And then we'll have our state meet, which again will probably be part of our fall classic, which typically happens in the middle of October, beginning to middle. And that'll be, we typically have swimming, golf, bocce, and softball. But disc golf is a sport that we'd like to attach to that one. That's in the October timeframe for the state. So that's where previously 2 to 3 months before that, they'll have the area competitions. And then anyone who goes to those, if they want to come to state, will qualify. And then we'll put a competition on in somewhere in the Bryan College Station area. Hopefully have a course out there that works for what we're doing.
Have you already set or determined what those skills challenges and how much golf is going to be played? Or is that something you're still tossing around trying to figure out?
So we've done some, we've done the short putt, long putt, the drive, the upshot, the roller, and an obstacle shot. However, this is something, again, fresh off the ground. Those are the skills we did for our virtual competition. But as we grow this thing, if there's some input that could really write with the experience that you've had working with individuals, we'd love to chat about how we can really improve our competition. And that's something that we're changing for the betterment of the competition for the athletes for sure. So if there's something that improves their skills more than what we're doing, we'll absolutely take a look and would love to.
Yeah, and that's a great conversation. We can have that off the air. Okay. Because when I started doing this, I had zero experience in the special needs community. And the way I started doing this was when I decided I wanted to, is I just advertised that I was going to be in town running a special needs disc golf class at 4 p.m. at this park. And I just showed up and then figured out what to do. And the things that I did at the beginning, like, I don't think I had a single good idea at the beginning, but I didn't know. Like, I didn't know what would work and what would, you know, didn't. So, like I said, I've already made all these mistakes. If I could give input, I mean, I think it'll save a lot of frustration from the coaches.
Hey, they love that, right? And adding on a new sport sometimes is a little tricky for them. It's intimidating. So the easier we can make it on them, the better. Would love to, yeah, definitely make that happen.
No, you should have zero problem finding disc golfers within every single region to step up and even to run the event within the framework of what you're doing. I mean, the disc golf community, we're strong. And I think that if we're given the platform to do this, we could come in and take it off your plate. And I think we're not going to add work. And I say we, I can speak for we. We're this big, huge family, but I can speak for us and say that we'll come in and make will be the easiest sport you work with. That's right. The way to start.
I love to hear. And that's one thing, to be honest, what we're looking for is those, the games management team is what we call it. So we have our volunteers, our day of event volunteers, who will be those spotters, right? And down the line, who we can train them in a day of event role. But our games management team, those are the ones who are behind the scenes helping us run and plan the events and looking at those athletes who, that's something, right? How do we division these athletes? Do we look at an average? But so many different disc golf courses have a different average. So how do you find a similarity? Is it a rating system? All those things that our games management team could help figure out and then run and plan these competitions with us. So those who want to get that more in-depth side of it, would love to have them as part of the games management team. But then if there's folks out there who just want to come for a day and be a part of the competition, we have those kind of roles as well. So, right, any kind of volunteer we're willing to work with.
Okay. Yeah. And I can help even develop metrics by which to rank the players, just because I can tell you what skills translate to a level playing field and which skills don't.
That's amazing.
And I think it's a pretty much a one-to-one correlation. A player who can throw, who has the physical ability to throw twice as far as somebody else, is also going to make more putts and be more accurate. There's a correlation there. And so I think that even just the skills competition or the skills layout could dictate disc golf level. Pretty confident that would go into one. And when I hear you talk about, you know, when you say things like playing 18 holes, my initial reaction is, oh, that doesn't sound like a really good idea. Unless they were adaptive holes or they were the teaming up with a player and alternating. But that's a 2 hour, requires a 2 hour attention span and walking a mile and a half. That's pretty high level. And so it's within the reach of some, but not all. But anyways, but I'm sorry. I said we could talk about it off the air, but like, I love this. This is what I love talking about. So
absolutely.
Again, we'll talk off the air how we can reach out to players around Texas. How do you reach the athletes? Is it just that everyone with special needs is basically kind of tied into this? Everyone's on a mailing list. Everyone's part of the community. Like, is that the easy part?
So what we have is, and we're always reaching new athletes, and that's something, right? Who knows? There could be a special needs individual out there who the only thing they want to do is disc golf, and they don't do Special Olympics because we don't offer disc golf. Now would be their opportunity. But what we have is, it's kind of the structure and the overall structure, right? So we have us, Special Olympics Texas, we run and plan the competitions. But each of the teams that compete at those competitions, those are all volunteer-run teams. So the coaches, all volunteers, some within the school, right? It's part of their adaptive PE teachers. That's part of their responsibilities. But most are volunteer-based. And those delegations, we call them delegations or teams, they kind of have an HOD, head of delegation, who's like their GM, and then they have coaches underneath who coach maybe one few sports, but they choose which sports they offer, when they practice, how often they practice. They kind of do it all on their own. They find their own practice locations and everything like that. So in that regard, right, finding a practice location for disc golf, reaching out for that, each of those coaches, then it's on their responsibility. So getting connected to folks like you guys and all the disc golf community will be huge for them as well, to find those practice spots or whether we have the equipment to bring out and just a big park and you can work on those skills, right? All opportunities there. But each, again, delegation wise, I couldn't even tell you the over thousands of teams, individual teams in Texas, definitely, that are each running on their own, all volunteer based, that we would love to include more disc golf volunteers on those teams. And then maybe they start and help in some other sports as well and just get involved year round, right? So it's not just that season of disc golf, it's a year round opportunity to work with our athletes and build that friendship. Like you said, right? They're just friends. It's nothing to do it. It's they become friends lifelong and build that bond.
Perfect. So basically we have these two communities that are already active and volunteering doing this work. We just need to make sure that they connect.
That's it. That mesh.
Oh, that sounds like a piece of cake. That sounds so easy, right?
I hear it.
What about money? Every organization needs money. Is the Special Olympics and the Disc Golf Special Olympics also, do they need money?
Always. And with that, what it does is provides those opportunities, right, to get more equipment out to the athletes, to provide them the things to get going, right, whether that's discs. If there's folks who want to donate discs, which I hear is a huge thing, right, to get athletes started, that would be a huge one, that they just need something. And even, right, just giving them an individual disc right there is something that would really change an entire mindset. Really, someone's going to give this to me, and then I can get going and start working in disc golf in that regard. Sponsorships, so when we get tournaments started and competitions, always looking for that. But really, all the money goes to the athletes, giving them new opportunities, new equipment, better facilities, everything like that, uniforms, you name it. We are always looking for that. We are a nonprofit, so it's all private donors and grant funded and no government assistance. We get a couple grants from the government for sure that we apply for, but other than that, it's big time private donations and funders.
Yeah, same thing. Fundraising falls right into that same category of what the disc golf community will do. They do tons of fundraisers, but this is fundraiser for disc golf, right? This isn't just a fundraiser for a nameless, faceless organization. It might be awesome, but they're not doing disc golf.
Right.
Don't think that fundraising for disc golf would be an issue. What about all the people in other states that say, well, I want disc golf in my state too, if Texas has it? Like, for sure, Oklahoma is going to be like, well, you know, they'll be mad that Texas was first, right? Obviously. Louisiana, Mexico a little bit, but Oklahoma, they'll be the most mad. What do other states do to get disc golf in the Special Olympics in their state?
And one thing that I would love about that is, speaking of the progressions, right, so we go from area to state to, you've got USA National Games. Our next one are in 2022 in Orlando. Then you have World Games. So we actually are sending a floorball team to Russia in January of 2022. All those opportunities, right, for other states, if there's disc golf folks in other states right now, if you want to reach out to myself, I'm sure we can get the contact information out there to reach out to me, and I can connect you to other Special Olympics programs. Otherwise, search Special Olympics and whatever your state is, and you can find that website or organization. We all have them for each Special Olympics program. Find the director of sports, director of games and competition. Those are the folks that you reach out to and say, hey, here's what Texas is doing, and we would love to get your athletes involved. And then what they can do, tell them to reach out to me, so that program in whatever state can reach out to me. I can let them know what we're doing, all that collectively, right? So with that, the more states that get it going, then the opportunities to have a national competition, a world competition in the sport go, and then it just grows even more. So right now, right, that's something that floorball was a new sport in Texas, and there's a World Games opportunity. So we said, we're going to start floorball. So we would love for, same thing, we started disc golf, and now there's national opportunities, worldwide opportunities for our athletes.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Actually, I don't think any of the other states are going to be interested, because none of the other states are as cool as Texas as far as disc golf. So don't even bother other state trying to be as cool as Texas.
That's it, right? You're not going to get there. So, you know.
No, I'm kidding. Actually, I mean, Texas is, God, there's not a state in this country that is not a great disc golf state. I mean, it's great everywhere. And it's the same, the culture of disc golf is the like, there's different regions of the country, but the disc golf community in Idaho is very similar to disc golf community in California, Texas, Alabama, and New York. Like, the disc golf is almost like its own region. And the people are just the most beautiful people in the world. And people just don't know what to do. I've posted many times about the Special Olympics and getting disc golf into it. And I just hit a wall where I didn't know what to do. And then I reached out and they said they needed funding. And I said, I can raise the money. And they said, but then you need volunteers, but I don't live there. And like, I felt like my hands were tied, and this is what I love to do.
That's so, yeah, right.
If you're doing it first, it just means people that there's a model out there. And if you build this model and the infrastructure, that's not the right word. I guess the model is the right word. If you build the model by how to do this, and you can take that model and then very easily move it to another state or states, I think it's going to be a domino effect.
We're doing the hard work, right? And I can't say that we haven't stolen ideas from other Special Olympics states that we say, hey, you're doing this sport, let's see what you got. And right, that's exactly it. We would love to share, and it's all about that, growing the sport, growing those opportunities. But no, it, the right, the base work, we've got a good start. But obviously with our connection now, we'd love to chat, as we talked about, offline and make some even more concrete some plans and take it off. But no, we'd love, again, as I mentioned, reach out to those Special Olympics programs in other states. They would love to help. Tell them to reach out to Texas, and we will definitely get them connected. Anything they need, we're happy to help.
Down in the comments section, I'm going to have every single bit of contact information you need. Whatever. I'll just connect with you to make sure I have everything for everybody. People are going to reach out. Literally, I was talking to a tournament director in 2 weeks who has a kid on the spectrum that I'm going to be competing in. Like, that's just, you know, it's invisible, but it's everywhere.
That's awesome. And
people will step up. The author of The Zen of Disc Golf, which was the best-selling book in disc golf, just by coincidence, childhood autism. Like, it's so much more common than people think, and there's so many people affected who love disc golf, who would love to connect these worlds.
And I love it. Come out one time, they're going to get hooked. If they don't have someone right on it with any disability, just getting out there and seeing the competition, that's all it takes, is one time, and it's a done deal. And they don't even need it. That's one thing, again, to hand on the disc golf community. I can't thank you all enough for everything you're doing. Everyone I've talked to has been the most gracious and most welcoming. And that's exactly it. What can we do for you? What can we do? And I hate to say it, but not all sports and programs are like that. The bigger sports that we go into those facilities and we ask about hosting a competition, how many tens of thousand dollars do they ask us? And we sit here and say, we can't do it. And right, we need those donations. We need those folks to donate facilities and get those volunteers out there. And everyone in the community so far has been there and done it for us.
You're not going to have anything resembling that in our community. All right, a quick shout out to Maria.
Absolutely.
You want to give Maria a shout out? She was
Maria. She's been huge, right? Just the start. That was one of, I believe, the first connection that we may have had with disc golf was with Maria. And she just said, hey, what can we do to get it started off the ground? So our GMT coordinator, already designated, she's going to be our first one to run our competitions. But not only that, turned it into editing and putting together our training videos, right? And we're continuing to add to that. The connection she made with all of the resources that we've had and gotten has been tremendous. So no, Maria, thank you for all you've done for us to get us started and continue to get us where we're going to go with all these connections you've made. It's been a greatly appreciated, and thank you again. Huge shout out to Maria. Maria's been amazing.
You know why you're great at your job?
Why is that?
Because you haven't stopped smiling the whole time you've been talking about this. You love this.
I love what I do. That's exactly it. And people say that all the time, and it's crazy. The funny thing is, I luckily don't have to wear a mask now, but we were down at a basketball meeting, and we were looking at a new venue, and they were like, you know how I can tell they're excited? And they looked, and he's like, you're smiling through the mask the entire time. And that's literally it is. This is the stuff I love, is sports. And I always said, I thought I was going to be a GM of an NFL team one day. And then I realized all that goes into that. I said, no, thank you. And I'm in the right place for a reason. And all I wanted to do is work in sports. And now I get to do it with the greatest athletes I have ever imagined. And these are the partnerships and the connections that I get to have and make. And it's incredible. And I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Everything you do. And I'm going to do everything I can to contribute and help out. But a lot of people are going to step up, and a lot of people have stepped up, and a lot more people are going to be stepping up. So thank you so much for your time tonight. Don't go. And I want to chat with you for a minute off air, and we'll go from there.
I got to thank you and shout you out again, right? I realized who I was chatting with this afternoon when I got the invite, and realized all you do now for the community. Thank you 100%. But where we're going to go is even better than where we've both been. So excited.
Brilliant. Love it. Thank you. I appreciate it. That means the world to me coming from you. Yes, all right. Thank you, everybody, for checking in. Links down below for sure. If you want to get involved, you can just follow the links. If you don't want to get involved, send the links to someone that you know will. And let's make disc golf a national Special Olympics sport. Hats off to the state of Texas for, well, the people that got behind it, but the state of Texas for being jumping on board. I know there have been some other states that have done some things with disc golf as well. So this is not to discredit what anyone else has done. This is my first conversation with someone active. Clearly, many, 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 many thousands of people have been promoting special needs athletics, and many of those have been promoting disc golf as well. So, but hats off to Texas for the taking it to this level. Thanks, you guys. See y'all next time.
Hey everyone, I'm now on Patreon. Click the link below. Not only keep the free content coming with tutorials, tips, podcasts, etc., but get a bunch of free stuff like live stream Q&As, copy of my book, voting on topics, behind the scenes, bunch of cool stuff. Click the link down below to join.